Book of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, and verse 20. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. It is one of the familiar verses from the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is also called Sermon on the Mount. And he was talking to, in verse 1 of the same chapter, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he said, his disciples came unto him. So this portion he spoke to his disciples. And he said, in these three chapters we have studied a few months ago, he talks about the coming kingdom of glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, where he would rule as a king from the heavens and also as a king of Israel on the nation Israel in the coming dispensation. And during that time, if anybody wants to enter into that kingdom, the heavenly kingdom, which will have the effect upon the earth also, unless the righteousness of those who wanted to enter exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees and scribes, they shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. So the righteousness of the Pharisees is mentioned in Luke chapter 18, the prayer, or in Matthew's Gospel chapter 23, the Lord was talking about the nature and the religious deeds. But in one sentence, we can say they are outwardly manifesting the activities pertaining to the law, but inwardly there is no place for the Lord after consecrating him as a king in their lives. But the Lord, when he came, he wanted to bring a new order of life that is generated from the Spirit, because he is a quickening Spirit. And after quickening of the Spirit, and the Spirit, the way he brings the relationship with the sinner who is born again and the one who is in heaven and continues to teach us the things of the Heavenly Father and the Lord, and bring us into the do the things which are right. And if that is not the activity which occurs in the life of a child of God, then they will not be enter into the kingdom of heaven in the millennial glory. The word righteousness is, in Greek it is called, it is said as dikaiosyne, or in English, if we translate, it is called divine approval. So that is the meaning of righteousness. In the scripture, we see two things. One, there is an imputed righteousness. That means when our Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, he has taken all our sins upon him. And as John records him, lo, this is the Lamb of God who carried the sins of the whole world. And he taken all our sins and went to the cross. The body which he commits sin, and he has paid the price on his body for that sin, for the sin of the whole world. And when he rose again and taken the blood, the holy precious blood, to the Father and poured it on the altar and present it before the Father, and on our behalf, the sacrifice of the Son of God was approved, or the Son of Man at that time is approved. And those whosoever believeth on him, God declares them as the righteous person. So we have studied that in a book of Romans Gospel, chapter 3, verse 25, or 24 onwards. Being justified freely by his grace, or justified or righteous, it is a very similar word, and through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, or It is called mercy seat. In Greek, it is called Elisterio, or lid of the ark in the Old Testament. Through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness. For the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth on Jesus. Justifier, or declaring righteous. And that is done on all behalf of those who all believed in him by our Lord Jesus Christ, and Father has accepted that. So when God the Father sees every believer, those who all applied the blood of Lord Jesus Christ by faith, and God declares them as righteous in relation to the sin which has been committed and been there so far in their life. But that is the beginning. But the later on, and he also expects us to continue to participate or do the things which are right in his sight. So every believer, whosoever has found a divine approval by believing in Lord Jesus Christ, is the stepping into a new territory of life where he will also be taught by the Spirit to do the things which are right in the sight of God, so that he may be found divine approval or righteous in the sight of God at the end of our life. And that is the process which we are all there, and that is also called sanctification. And as we see that without sanctification, no man shall see God. So God justifying us freely does not make us a changed person to stand before God and see God. So there is another dimension required in the inward parts of a man. And that, when the Lord speaking in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, he was talking about the changed inward nature. And that is all imperative to be for all of us if we wanted to be enter into the kingdom of heaven in the coming dispensation to rule along with the Lord for 1,000 years. But in relation to that, Paul was saying in the book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 5, "For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith, or which is of faith." Now, in Paul writing in Romans, he wrote as if it is all done. But while now writing to Galatians, so he says, it is, we are waiting for the righteousness through the Spirit, or we are waiting through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness, which is of faith. So, or by faith, as we continue to identify ourselves with the Lord on the cross and also on the resurrection, and as faith works with that identification with the Lord, the Spirit brings out the life of the resurrection to work in us in the process of the changing of our nature, our sanctification, or ultimately it will be declared as righteous in the sight of God. For that righteousness, we wait with a hope through the Spirit's work, and which is of faith. And in another place, he writes, book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 17. "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by the faithfulness of God." So here, it is not only the beginning of where we found righteous stand before the presence of the Father, and we continue to exercise faith in the faithfulness of God, so that the work which he has initiated in us may progress, and we may continually learn to do the things which are right in the sight of God. And at the end of our life, that we will be declared righteous in the sight of God as we stand before the presence of the Father. That is, as we read in, from faith to faith is in the beginning to faith, and allowing to draw the inner life or the resurrection life through the Spirit to work in us, and in that also that we continue to exercise faith. So I don't know whether we are going with the...
Could you please repeat the last two sentences, brother?
See, from faith to faith means the beginning when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ to be declared righteous from the guilt of the sin and from the penalty of the eternal damnation, we are saved. But the later on also, and we continue to trust in the faithfulness of God, that is what Paul meant from faith to faith, to allow the beginning work of the righteousness to progress towards the sanctification, and the end it may be completed. And that process is essential in all of us to be done. And Paul says in Galatians 5:5, then we wait for the hope of that righteousness through the Spirit, which is of faith.
Still we have to hope for righteousness, brother?
And I am not saying this one, and we will read again in Galatians 5:5. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness, which is of faith. So there, as we read in Romans chapter 4, verse 25, he was delivered for our sins and he rose again for our justification. So that is done. But those who are all freely justified, we do not see there is a change of nature in all the believers immediately. It is a process and it is going on. And what here he meant was, then as we wait for the hope of righteousness through the Spirit, which is worked out by faith, which is of faith, will be done in those who continue to wait from faith to faith. So that we must all allow that work. See, now after my new birth, it is not that I became a changed person, my inward parts. There is a continual struggle. If you have observed all the brothers and sisters, most of them those who worshipped, they made a real confession. There is an inward change of that fallen condition, even after the new birth. And many brothers and sisters said they were struggling. And they all hope that the Lord is going to change them and are asking that the Lord should change them. And what they are doing in saying so, they are hoping that the Lord would really bring the change and transform them and declare them with a divine approval stamp. And is that when some of you worshipped in that manner, is it not the sense of that? Is it not the meaning of that?
Yes.
That's exactly true.
Yeah. So that is what he was saying. So when after our new birth, when the Lord in the first beginning years, it was all very happy because I found the Lord and there is a newness in the end, and the Spirit filled me with the joy and love and peace, and there is a bubbling joy to declare, to live this life in a wonderful manner. And after a few years of life, then the Lord brought with me, I'm saying, and I also know that some of you of the same line, then he has put us in some conditions where our older nature started coming out, shown up in a regular lives with our families and sometimes even with our spouses, children, extended families, assembly, or some people where they are working. And in all those prevailing conditions, these are all normal conditions. It's not that we are withdrawing from all of them and then going to Himalayas or staying an isolated life. God has put all of us together to live. And in that one, that every time, easily someone who is really quickened in the Spirit and allowing the work of the Spirit can really discern, then what is the nature, what is going on in the heart of the other person? Because he will be able to discern. But if it is an unbeliever, we will not be discerned. But if it is a believer and who has a regular communion with the Spirit, they will be able to understand. But what the Lord does is, that is all natural. But when, what the first thing the Lord would do in all of us is, and putting us into such a different conditions, which is not, which we felt it is not normal, but actually it is normal according to God. And in that condition, he will try to test us. And when he tests us, what is the inward nature which we are all trying to hide it, or mask it, or act upon it, or pretend in a hypocritical manner? Or many years we can all do that. But those who are truly honest and truthful with the Lord, they will soon open up to the Lord. So the first thing is, when the Lord touches our inward parts, our inward man, and which is not in line with what the Spirit is communicating, either through the Word of God or our regular fellowship with him, then the man learning to see there is a different thing which is not pleasing to the Lord is still very strongly working. So what God does is, after making it known, those who are truthful, honest, and willing to work that out in their life to overcome that nature which is not divine approval of the Lord, and they ask the Lord. So that is the first step, we all should do it. So if somebody has a failure, not able to live the way it's supposed to be, and if he comes and confesses with the Lord, and sometimes some of the brethren are so honest, they say in the assembly, which is good. And that is the beginning where, in whose life the Lord wanted to deal with them. So without realization of there is a different nature which is not acceptable to the Lord, needed to be dealt by the Lord, when we do not make the confession, there is no work of the Lord in progression. So as we wait that the Lord should release us and make us a company of people of divine approval in the presence of the Lord, what the Lord does is, the second step he does is, he will prepare our hearts to make us realize that we are impotent, that we cannot really overcome that. He will make us to realize that there is a different nature. And second thing, he will make us realize that by our own effort, we will not be able to overcome that. So whenever we see that there is a problem, immediately man tries to get into the action. And he will say, this and this particular act, I should not do with this brother and this sister or with this family member. So when they are there, I need to withdraw from what I have been doing, so that otherwise they will know what I am truly is. Or second thing, he or she will try to do opposite of it, but without the life of the Lord. So that we can continue for a time, but that will all fail. So by allowing that process, the Lord will make us realize that we will not be able to overcome that. Then what, when we come, the Lord, I am not able to overcome, as we have read in Corinthians, jealousy, envy, or in the 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the things which the law is supposed to produce, many of things which are not, we don't have it. And also in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the flesh, which are reflected in many things which are there in us, in Ephesians and Colossians, chapter 4, chapter 3 of Colossians. But all those things which are still very much relevant in all our life, as we are trying to do, and soon God will make us realize that we will not be able to do that. So we will also know in the conviction, there is no divine approval yet. Then what the Lord will do is, then the Spirit will continue to guide us. He will say, Hari, then you learn to identify, to die and rose again with the Lord's death and the resurrection. There is a wonderful life available there. And we wait for the hope of the righteousness, which is of faith. So you bring, you trust in the faithfulness of God. The Lord will do it. But unless you are honest, truthful, willing to allow the work of the Lord, you will not be able to do it. So when we are trying to cover that up, the Lord is not interested to work. When you are opening up your life, and sometimes it is a very disgraceful situation, and sometimes we may have to bear the shame, because that is the rottenness or the level of that stinking smell nature which is in us, but which is not of the divine nature. That need to be gone. And before we overcome that, the Lord will make us realize and how deep that was, and how bad that is, and how obstructive for our spiritual growth of that nature. Then what the Lord does is, and by faith, you learn to appropriate the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the law of the Spirit of life will deliver us from the law of the sin and death, both. So unless I come to the Lord to see how that life of the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life will work in my life, I will not be able to overcome that which is there in my life. So in this process, as I wait, so what is the meaning of the waiting there? I am waiting means I am going through the process of realizing, confession, and sometimes the suffering, and all that putting together a time called wait. Then the Lord will release it. When he sees that I am truly confession and an express honest desire to overcome and willing to do by faith, appropriating the power of the life which is made available through the Spirit. So the waiting, it need not be till the Lord cometh. But it can also be, it may be, it depends upon the preparation of our heart, the depth of the confession, and the depth of our honest heart to overcome that nature and willing to really exercise faith in our life, only in the life and the power of the Lord to allow that process of the Lord.
Brother, can I ask you the difference between hope for righteousness and hope of righteousness?
I don't know, sister. I didn't. Here we call it as, it is a hope there means that I will be found with the divine approval. That is the meaning which I understand there. So the meaning is, it is when the Lord cometh and ruleth, that it is a righteous king, where the righteousness dwelleth. But now we are waiting for the hope of righteousness. It is not something that till the end, but in every nature or every our heart condition, which needed to be changed, till that the Lord changes or bringeth the change, we wait through the Spirit, which is of faith, that the Lord may affect that condition. So many things we start recognizing that this is not of God, but I continue to do. And when we do that, and when God sees the real condition of our heart, and he will provide such situations where we are put in, and we will really be broken in our inward parts, by either by going through the shame or disgraceful situations or brokenness in everything. And that is the time when we really truthfully turn to the Lord. And the Lord will lift us up and also teach us how to really appropriate by faith the power of God which is available, where the Spirit will help us to extract that life, to penetrate and work in us, to bring us up. So if we may not recognize this entire process as a theory in many believers' lives, but what we have done few years ago or a year ago that you may not be doing now. And there is a progression in the nature wherever you have made the confession and wherever you have truly appropriated the power of life by faith through the Spirit, and the Lord has made you to overcome that nature. Can we say that, or it is not right? No, it is, there is no change. If there is no change, at least is there a beginning that you are able to recognize there is something not right with you and making the confession to overcome? Even that is not there.
It comes, Mother, when we are able to recognize when this message comes, when God speaks to us what is in us, when we confess and that word convicts us, automatically, sometimes unknowingly, we are able to recognize when we are overcome by that also. It helps that the Spirit gives that grace.
So, when you are able to overcome that, are you waiting or it is immediately, spontaneously happening when, as soon as you made the confession?
It comes sometimes. I was able to recognize after that, because not
after, what after that?
After that means that after this wrong run, then I was able to see I used to be like that and how I was able to overcome that, and I was not able to do that same thing. Because it's over and over, many times when I'm doing, I was helpless and I used to bitterly cry, Lord, I'm not able to do anymore now. I'm doing by my own strength. That's why I'm not able to overcome that. So when I confess that only you can do that and I'll remain that situation, God has helped me. And I was able to be gracious, God's grace. I was able to do that and I was able to see the change some many places, many areas. And still there is a lot that I can't say that this one, but I was able to recognize that I'm not able to do that. I was able to do that by His grace only.
So that is true, sister. That is what exactly. But as you are, after the making the confession or during the struggling to overcome, what did you do? Did you withdraw or avoided the situations, or within the situations you functioned as if you are led by the Spirit?
Beginning I used to avoid, and I used to leave that person or situation I used to avoid. But that doesn't work. I thought that that is not the way, because again, that is the same thing. The God wants me to stand with that and to bear that. That is why He taught me that, which usually I have that patience and endurance I am very lacking in my life. So I want just instant something should be done. That's God taught me more in waiting upon that. And I was able to stand that. And I thank God now. I think that that people and that situation is blessing for me. I was able to remain. Lord, I just remain now. I don't know. I want to see how you work now. Today, if any of the same situation come, I wanted to watch and see how you take it in your hand. That helped me so much, like so peace. And so much, so light. That's what I was telling that Matthew 11:22, I think, sir, brother, that word, the yoke is so easy, the burden is light. Then I am able to understand that. How? Because I was depending on my yoke, that other person in my life, not on my own, I used to do all this. That brought me such a tremendous strength to me. And I was really, that verse really, God, what Jesus said, that it is easy. It is burdensome, but not burden, it is light. So that is the way it made me so blessing. And that gave me that confidence that I was able to do that in my life.
So now, what that sister said exactly, this verse 5. What she's saying, as she confessed and waited upon the Lord to get the release or the overcoming of a particular situation, Without avoiding either the situation or the people. So without avoiding the people or the situation is only you are just trying to express that you are not able to overcome. But when you are in the same situation and the people did not change, when you are able to manifest the life of Christ there, you have overcome. And what I am waiting for is that in the particular situation or a given situation where the Lord is dealing with my nature, I am not looking at the situation at all. I am looking at the inward of nature of mine, which is not according to God, according to the Lord, and it needed to be changed to be found approval in the sight of God. Then whatever the situation or the people the Lord wanted to use, I wanted to stay there and ask the Lord, allow His life to function so that I may overcome which is there in me by putting that nature on the cross, taking the life of the resurrected life of the Lord through the Spirit and overcome. And during that process, as I wait upon the Lord, that is the meaning of the waiting. It is not just the meaning, I wait till the Lord cometh. At every given point of time, where the Lord picks up a nature in me, which is contrary to Him, because He loveth me, He also wanted to make me change. He wanted to see me change. He wanted to do the work of righteousness to be wrought in Him, by Him in me. So as I am willing to go through the process which He puts me in, to bring that change, I just stay there. And it is easy many times to just avoid. So I did that avoiding, but the Lord has put me in more difficult, much difficult situations with more complicated people. Then soon I realized running away from the problems is not a solution to have the manifestation of the overcoming life. Lord has put me and has called me to the fellowship of His Son to learn everything, taking His yoke, carrying His burden, manifestation of His life, and that all needed to be done as I take His life to work in me. So sometimes He puts me into more difficult and shameful situations. And He will take me through a situation where I could have done otherwise by many things, but He will make me powerless. I will not be able to do anything. Make me keep quiet. But it is all as I endure, after that I realize the Lord has really changed and His life has really come into play and made me to overcome that the same situation. My thinking about the situation and the people changed, and my heart towards that particular nature which was there is changed. And that entire process, Paul says, waiting upon. So if I realize that there is a thing which is not right with the Lord, and there is a hope, if I allow the Lord to work in my life. And also that work needed to be done through the Spirit, which is of faith. And if anything I am trying to do, it will not work. If I identify with my crucified and resurrected Lord by faith, and the Spirit takes that condition of my heart and make me victorious and the overcoming person. Till that process is done, the Lord gives us grace to suffer, to learn, and to overcome. So if any of us are going through the same condition, we should not get discouraged. If we are able to recognize the condition of our heart, and when we come boldly, the Lord, as I wait upon the hope of righteousness, that thou may work through thy faithfulness and through the power of thy Spirit, so that I may have the overcoming life working in me. So if this is done, then I would like to run through two examples so that it will give you much more clarity. So let us go to Book of Numbers, chapter 20. Chapter 20, verse 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Then in the Book of Numbers, chapter 27 again. Chapter 27, verse 12. And the Lord said unto Moses, get thee up into this Mount Abarim, and see the land which I have given unto the children of Israel. And when thou hast seen it, thou also shalt be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother was gathered. For he rebelled against my commandment in the desert of Zin, in the strife of the congregation, to sanctify me at the water before their eyes, that is the water of Meribah in Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin. And here the Lord said, you have not sanctified me. And in Numbers 20, he said, you have not believed me. And Moses said to the children of Israel that ye rebels. So all these things have really were there in the heart of Moses. So Moses, after leading the children of Israel in the wilderness for 38 years, and the 600,000 men and unnumbered women and the children have really made his life miserable every day. But the way the Lord has put him into a situation, and he was able to cover his feelings for 38 years out of 40. It is only 2 years left now to enter into the promised land. At the 38th year, where the Lord has to test him and bring out what was there in his heart. See, what a man is, he can do so many years. But the Lord did not want to take his servant without doing what is right and or what is needed to be completed in his heart. It needs to be complete. So that is why otherwise he will not be counted to take into the glory. So the Lord in his mercy, he allowed a situation where his actual feelings towards the children of Israel, and in that particular time, the way he ought to believe did not believe, and the way he need to sanctify the Lord did not sanctify, everything came out. It was very surprising. It is only 2 years left. So in our life also, we thought it was not there in me. But the Lord, as we reach more and more closer to him, or our time at this on the earth is nearing to the end, the Lord wanted to take us to complete the course which he began in our life. Can we imagine that another 2 years, if he has really covered it up, we would never know. The Lord would know. But the Lord did not like that. The Lord wanted to make it open. Otherwise, how can you imagine a man of God who has seen God face to face as a man to man, and he had communion every day, and had a different kind of a feeling towards the children of Israel, and which was covered for 38 years, and he did not know us. We did not know him that way. But what God did, otherwise, we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the rock followed. That means the water was followed wherever they went. But here it created such a situation where Moses would fail, and by which then the feelings are which is still not completed righteous nature would be brought out. Then you imagine he was the leader of the nation Israel. Then the Lord has put him into such a situation, and everybody would now start thinking about him in a different manner. But the Lord did not want to take him unless this is to be dealt with. So most of the times, either it is the last case with Moses, but in our side also, he will put us into such a situation where it will come out. And we have no other way except to make it as a confession and bear the shame. And with that incident, I feel that there may be a changed opinion among the people about Moses when the Lord told him that you will not enter. So in each situation, each time where the Lord wanted to bring out and change that one, and the way the Lord would work in our lives is so amazing. It is very much unexpected manner. So on the basis of that, And he prayed, Moses prayed about him. Book of Psalms, chapter 90, verse 10. The days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength there be 80 years. Yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. So then he says, in verse 12, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So now, in his heart, this is the real burden. God has already told me that I will be buried in the mount in Abiram. So, though I missed the opportunity to enter into the promised land, but I would like to see the greater reward after my death. So in the remaining 2 years of my life, so it is 730 days. Teach me how to count my days every day so that I may give my life and applying of the wisdom. In each day, how I need to allow your process so that it may be completed. At the end of my life, I would find a divine approval in your presence. Now we don't know how many days left for us. Moses was very fortunate, and God has really blessed him. He told him that you will die. And it was made known to him. And accordingly, he started counting 730, 729, 365, 200, 100, the last day. And at that time, that is the time that Moses has prayed. He said, verse 16, let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto thy children. And said, Lord, whatever the work you are doing in me, let that be complete. And let thy children may see that work. That means, as I wait upon the hope of the righteousness through the power of the Spirit by faith, and you complete in me, and that completed work may be seen by the children of God, so that they may not lose hope, and they may allow their lives into the handling of God by his precious, wonderful discipline. Verse 17, and let the beauty of thy Lord God be upon us. So he said, yes, I did not believe the way I ought to believe. Yes, I did not sanctify you the way I ought to sanctify. Yes, I should not have said about my brethren the way I spoke about them. But now you cover that up all. As I pray, as I count my days, as I apply wisdom, as I foresee the coming reward, and which is that my hope, which is my life is connected to, you don't leave me. Let the beauty of the Lord, that means a divine approval, may be upon my life. Then accordingly, in Matthew 17, we see the Lord was there in the Mount of Transfiguration, and Moses in all his glory was also appeared. So truly, the beauty of the Lord was upon him. And whatever the Lord wanted to work in his servant, he completed it. So in the wonderful plan of God, God did not want to take Moses without bringing out this situation in his life. So it was actually a good thing. Otherwise, it would have been left that way, which is not actually right in the sight of God. So when God allowing certain situations in our life, we are trying to say, I always find advices from other people that we should easily avoid this situation. So they think they are very wise. But Moses was saying, teach me how to apply wisdom in my life. That is, avoiding the situation or acting with my own wisdom is not in the plan of God to overcome. If I avoid with my wisdom a particular situation or a thing or a person, the Lord would have to take me through a different situation. I believe Moses had carried this feeling about the children of Israel much before that. It is not a feeling which has come out on the same day. If it was not there in his heart, there was no need of God that to bring that situation out in his life. So when God wanted to deal with us, if we wanted to say, I would have avoided this situation by doing something else. Yeah, man's wisdom is, it is the way that man thinks and also acts. By doing so, we are only postponing the work of God in our lives. Even if it is happened by because of my foolishness, ignorance, or my emotional attitude, when I come to the Lord, this is all me, Lord, this is me. Will you not show thy mercy upon me? And I wanted to teach me how to count my days and apply wisdom to my life. And whatever you have began the work in my life, let that be completed. Let the beauty of that righteous nature of yours may really adorn or dawn in my heart, in my inward parts. And the way it is happening, it may give the strength and courage to thy children, those who are following me behind. So we'll go to another example. Book of Acts, chapter 22. Reading verses from 18 to 21.
And saw him saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning one. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of the martyr Stephen was shed, I was also standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles.
So this is a chapter where Paul was caught in Jerusalem. And he wanted to give the testimony, and at the gates of Jerusalem, then he started speaking to the people. And he was now recapping what the Lord has spoken to him, and when he first time visited after he met the Lord. And when he, in verse 15, we see, for thou shalt be his witness unto all men what thou hast seen and heard. And 16, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling unto the name of the Lord. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in trance, and I saw him saying to me. So after first time meeting the Lord in Damascus, and there, after that, he came to Jerusalem. While he was in Jerusalem temple, while praying, he wanted to testify in Jerusalem to the Jewish people. But the Lord told him that now, because I have imprisoned them and beaten them up, they know me that who I am. Now they would believe and they would change. They will accept the testimony. But the Lord told him, And they will not listen to you. So he told him, verse 21, and he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee unto the Gentiles. And in the previous verse, he said, in verse 18, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem. So first time when the Lord spoke to him that, you know, you don't stay in Jerusalem, you quickly get out of Jerusalem. So don't be here. But he started saying to the Lord that since I have this kind of a testimony and everybody knew about me, what I am, then they would listen to me. But the Lord told him, they will not receive your testimony. And depart from here quickly. So you get away from here. Twice the Lord told him, when Paul was reasoning with the Lord, that I wanted to be here as a testimony. And book of Romans, chapter 9, verses 1 to 3. And I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from the Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. So when Romans was written, so that was, Paul was not there at Acts chapter 22. Before coming to the state of chapter 21 of Acts, then he wrote this epistle. We can find that references in book of Romans chapter 15, where he was going, he was telling them that I am going to go to Jerusalem, taking the alms from Macedonia and Achaia to the poor people in Corinth. So there was nothing wrong in taking the alms for the poor people in Jerusalem, but he had carried a special burden. But in the same thing, he also expresses in Romans chapter 9 that he wanted to be separate even for the sake of his own brethren. So that was the real passion he carried in his heart about their brethren. So that was, in spite of Lord telling him, they will not receive your testimony, don't go there. Get away from there. But he did not listen. So while doing so, then he had to face a lot of problems. And even before writing this epistle to the Romans, in book of Acts, chapter 18, verses 18 to verse 22.
And Paul after this tarried there yet a good while, and took his leave of his brethren, and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. And he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch.
So now we see here in Acts chapter 18 that he was talking that he did one thing in 18 that he shone his head and he wanted to go to Jerusalem. The law, God clearly told him, don't go, and they are not going to receive your testimony. But he was preaching very authoritatively that there is no need of observation of the law or the Old Testament. And by grace we are saved, not by the acts. But in spite of that, we see here an act of Paul, which is not completely pleasing to the Lord. So we see that there is a flesh in him which is still there after Lord told him in Acts chapter 9, first time in his appearance. Now up to chapter 19, over a period of these 10 plus years. And there is a feeling in his flesh that he is indebted to them to minister there and see that whether the Lord will really open the doors to preach the gospel unto them. So when that kind of a heart we carry, what the law against even the, what the Lord was saying, no, and the Lord has to really dealt with him in a different manner. Though he was arrested in Jerusalem and then later on taken to Rome and he was imprisoned. So in all these conditions we see where a man, in spite of the warnings given by the Lord, how the flesh is really acting. And that was, it is only Lord Jesus Christ. And we have seen a complete obedience in the perfect way the law, he could please as a son of man, please with God. But in all of us, and we see something or other, even we saw as in Moses and also see in Paul, but that is, Lord, it doesn't mean that he did neglect them or put them aside. But while putting him in prison, then he wrote these wonderful epistles and allowed the work which is still to be completed has been completed. So it is Lord's grace in all of us whenever he is trying to bring something out which is hidden in us and making it open. And most of the times we have to go through the suffering and shame and disgrace, that is not to be, we should not take that as a negative side. We should take that as a positive aspect of God's dealing with his servants, with his children, to make us overcomers as we wait upon the hope of righteousness to be declared at the end of our lives through the power of the Spirit as which is of faith. So it was something the Lord has to deal with that, in that condition, in that way. In the book of Acts, chapter 21, verse 4.
In finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem.
So the Spirit has given them a warning that he should not go. Then he himself said, and I am going to Jerusalem, that I do not know what happens to me. That is in chapter 20, verse 22 and 23.
And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnessed in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me.
So it is, he himself also felt it is not going to go smoothly, his visit to Jerusalem. And other people are also warning him that you should not go to Jerusalem. But now I do not have knowledge that whether Lord took him or he went, but there is a definite indication, there is a in flesh he has much inclination to see the brethren and do the things there in Jerusalem. And we also see in chapter 21 of Acts, verse 17.
And when we came to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly.
And in the same chapter, verses 22 to 26.
What is it, therefore? The multitude must needs come together, for they will hear that thou art come. Do therefore this that we say to thee. We have 4 men which have a vow on them. Them take and purify themselves, thyself with them, and be at charges with them, that they may shave their heads, and all may know that those things whereof they were informed concerning me, concerning thee, are nothing, but that thou thyself also walkest orderly and keepest the law. As touching the Gentiles which believe, we have written and concluded that they observe no such thing, save only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols, and from blood, and from strangled, and from fornication. Then Paul took the men, and the next day, purifying himself with them, entered into the temple to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification, until that an offering should be offered for every one of them.
So that is all what he did. In chapter 18, he shone his head. And here, whatever he is supposed to do to pacify the Jewish people that he is not against them, he did that. But whereas God has called him to be a witness or the apostle for the Gentiles. But what he was preaching in other places, that there is no need of following the law. But here some of the things which he did was according to the law. So that means there is a flesh which he had a desire to see please his brethren, and he acted upon it, and God has brought that out. In Acts chapter 18, what he did, it was not that significantly noticeable. But in chapter 20, then the Lord has brought it out and made it open what he was there, what was there in his heart, as we read in book of Romans chapter 9. Then he was imprisoned. Then after he was in prison, book of Philippians chapter 3, this is 4 years later. In AD 64, he wrote this from his prison in Rome. Verse 9. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is God by faith. So now he is talking as if whatever was that not an approval condition still remained in his life 4 years ago, while in prison, that he says, now I am working that out. So it is a wonderful thing, the way God dealt with his servants, either with the Moses or with the Paul, mighty men of God. God has extraordinarily used them. But it was a God's provision to make their life complete here. And for that kind, for that thing, the way the Lord used to bring out what was not actually not approved in his sight and made it approved and then took him there. So whenever the Lord is bringing out something which is displeasing to our hearts, for the old man, our old nature, but God is working relentlessly with all of us to show forth what we are and how he wanted to deal with us, so that by waiting or in suffering or allowing him to work in us, the work, good work which he began in us, he would like to complete until the day of Christ before his coming here. Then at the end of his life, he says, book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. So this is 2 years after from writing the Philippian epistle and chapter 4 verse 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So it is not only my privilege. Now I know that in Philippians, 4 years after he was captured, he said, still working. I did not reach there. I'm counting every day to apply this entire situation with wisdom to apply my life. And whatever was hidden needed to be completed. By faith, I'm asking the Lord to complete everything. And 2 years later, Paul was saying, I have run my race. I finished my course. Now there is a crown of righteousness is waiting for me. Not only for me, but all those who appear, wait for the appearance of the Lord. And the procedure or the process of waiting for the hope of righteousness through the Spirit, which is of faith, is all same for all of us. So finally, book of Psalms chapter 85, verse 11.
Truth shall spring up out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven.
So these are the people who are called, justified, sanctified, found divine approval, filled the heavens. And those are the people who are looking down upon the earth to bring the truthfulness in the lives of the people who are remaining in the kingdom of our Lord's millennial period. And these are the people who has really replaced the powers of darkness and his host of heavenly angels fallen with him. Now it is filled with the righteousness where they sing, and righteousness dwelleth with him. So these are the people. And we wait for that situation. In the meanwhile, in every situation, as we wait upon the Lord enables all of us to make us the overcomers, those who are willing to allow the process of Lord's dealing. So whenever the Lord wants to bring out something in us, and it is his mercy, and it is his good pleasure, so that we all may be disciplined properly and find divine approval with him, then he takes the count of our life.
Brother, one doubt I have. We are able to recognize what is that which we are not able to do pleasing to God in our lives, isn't it? Like 38 years after that only Moses could recognize. Moses must be not knowing that God, unknowingly he uttered that word, I think so, that when God brought that situation and spontaneously he could do that, which is in him, I think.
If unknowingly Moses have done that one, the Lord would deal differently. The Lord is very gracious, and he would immediately sense what was in the heart and what is emotionally spoken. So he does not deal the way the man deals, or he does not think that the way we think.
But Moses must have thought that it is everything is okay with him in walking with God.
It appeared like that. We cannot really comment on such a great life, but it is.
But today also about Paul, because in the Philippines, in the jail, he wrote that letter. It was so touching, that the Philippine. And now we know that because of the consequences of what he has done, the unrighteousness of his, so he was able to be there. Yes. Even God told him that one, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
So I never knew this one with about Paul. So it's good for us if God brings this type of situations in our life, no brother, actually I feel that now.
It is wonderful. That is, whenever people say, And somebody tells me, if I am alone, you tell me something, that is fine. But if any other people are there, you should be careful about me, what people think about me. So we are more careful about how people think, but we are not careful about how God thinks about us. I don't know whether you see some people like that.
Because we don't see God. That is the reason.
Luke 8:15 also it says that the word, that means that word works only in the honest and noble heart. So if it is not there, and sometimes we cover ourselves and we don't feel like, but when we spontaneously, when the word comes, and sometimes we do not know what we are, and the automatically when we are praying, it comes out what we are. That is the way that we are able to know that how wretched we are. How the iniquity is in our lives continuously going on.
Someone can close in prayer.